The opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are. It's Wednesday. Let's check in with William Gein now and find out how his Thanksgiving was. How was it? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was good. I still need some rest. I didn't get enough rest. Ended up traveling around for the holidays and having to deal with some stuff that I put off during the election. Now we're going on watch for the holidays. You know, this isn't our first lame duck Congress, but there's talk about passing an omnibus bill, and I know... You know, we have very, very narrow margins coming up in the House and the Senate. It's going to be less than 4 or 5 seats
in
each body.
Right. Now, there are two groups we have to worry about real quick. Rhinos, which may be the majority, I don't know. R-I-N-O, that's for you new ones. That's Republicans in name only. Rhino, they're frauds, okay? They might as well be communists in some cases. And now we have Republicans against Trump. I call them rats.
Well, and the globalists, you know, it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. We know that the globalists are going to try to attract and keep illegals in the United States despite deportations. And one of the best ways they can do that...
outrageous things going on. Yes, yes.
Yeah, the best way they can do that is to get another amnesty bill floating around. The restaurants and the construction industries and the farmers are all going to want to keep their illegal workforce. And if Trump turns around for any reason and says, okay, yeah, we'll cut a deal on some wall funding, but certain illegals get to stay, then it all, you know, it all starts to unwind and blow up. It'll be the Trump amnesty attempt, too, and the acrimony and the splitting and the division will just completely wreck his second term if that happens. But, you know, that's what these people in D.C. are going to try to do. And right now we need people to be very vigilant, watch them very closely, and if there's going to be an omnibus spending bill, which I hope there won't be, who knows what type of devilry and evil related to immigration and God knows what else could be in an omnibus bill. So we need some of our activists and the people who care out there to be on alert, to be vigilant and diligent until the lawmakers leave D.C. for Christmas. And this isn't, you know, our first lame duck rodeo, but
you are tired.
Yeah.
You said vigilant and diligent.
Diligent and vigilant. That's sort of hard to say. Diligent.
Forget it. I got it covered.
Diligent and vigilant. There we go.
I'm just having fun with you.
No, that's right. Yeah. You try to say those two together real quick, though, Jeff. Diligent and vigilant.
Vigilant, diligent.
All right, maybe it's easier for some people than others.
Well, it's the pork shoulder.
No, I didn't do pork shoulder. I had smoked turkey. Real thing. Yeah. Did you do the tofurkey this year?
No, I read the label and I said, no, I'm not doing that even one day a year. I didn't like what I saw.
Two too much bad stuff in it, huh?
Too much stuff I couldn't pronounce and didn't understand, so I just checked out.
Hey, that's a highly, that sounds like a highly processed food.
It's not what you'd think, unfortunately. Look, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's something I don't want in my body. So,
gotcha.
I stopped. All right, let's go. Let's go here to. Are you still going to hold that special dinner for Mitch McConnell there in North Carolina?
Oh, look, man, he needs to just get on out, and him and a lot of other people.
You got it. You got it.
You know, I would look forward to not dealing with him anymore.
You know. What did he do to keep himself around, though? He did something to give him some control over something in the Senate, and I can't remember what it was. He did something. He's not going to vanish. Let me find it. I was shocked at this. Hold on. Mitch McConnell. We'll just say, not going away. How's that? We'll see what he says. Or see what the search... Okay. McConnell's exit isn't going to be a quiet one. But he's not going quietly. A GOP free agent of short, the sorts. Let's see, Mitch McConnell announces he'll exit. There's something he hung on to, like he's going to still be in charge of doing something for the Republicans in the House. I don't know what it is. I'll figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you this. I about fell out of my seat when I read about the Trump comments to Trudeau about making Canada the 51st state.
All right, let's take that apart.
I laughed and laughed and laughed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did anything come from Trudeau about that? Did he comment on it?
Well, my understanding, the way the story went, he came down and went to kiss the ring at Mar-a-Lago or something and told Trump that, you know, a bunch of tariffs would wreck the Canadian economy. And the way the story's told, Trump said, well, if you can't have a good economy without ripping the United States off for over $150 billion a year, how about we just make Canada the 51st state? And yeah. if that was said, oh, gosh, I hope somebody got it on video. I really do.
I agree. All right, so Pete Hegseth may be replaced by Ron DeSantis, Secretary of Defense, right?
Well, I mean, I sort of hate to lose DeSantis from Florida. I don't live in Florida, but, you know, things have been good under his leadership there in our third most populous state and a very important voting constituency there. And so, you know, I'm just sort of reading about the different appointees and nominees and just sort of, you know, coasting. There's nobody popping up that really sets off my alarm bells other than Marco Rubio, so I'm sort of happy about that. And
well,
I do enjoy watching the left's reaction. I mean, did you see how fast Biden started issuing pardons when they nominated what's his face for the FBI? Nominee for the FBI,
Cash Patel. Cash Patel.
Yeah, Trump said Cash Patel for FBI. Boom, the pardon started flying, didn't they?
Mm. He's got a pretty good background from what I can get. He's not a drunken wife beater that I can detect. He's solid. He talks a good game, and we'll see. I don't know. Here's Pete Hegseth is saying that he will never back down amid rumors he'll be replaced by Ron DeSantis. Here's another headline. As Hegseth vows to fight, Trump considers DeSantis for Secretary of Defense. So the deal with, if you don't know, the deal with Hegseth is, and this may be all fiction, drummed up by the communists, I don't know. They're claiming he has a drinking issue, and he's a little bit of a philanderer as well. So, you know, I don't know. Does that mean he's going to be a bad Secretary of Defense or a good one? I don't know if it means anything, but that's the talk. So if Trump says, here's the headline, Wall Street Journal, Trump mulls replacing Pete Hegseth with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. That's not a good headline, and Hegseth is probably in trouble. That's called a trial balloon headline to see how it would go over.
Well, who's vetting people on Trump's side? You know, who's doing the vetting here? And if Trump is going to run and back up any time the left starts squawking about things or the rhinos in the Senate start squawking, nothing decent's going to happen. He's going to have to pick some real firebrands and some people who are really going to move and shake and get some things changed, because that's what we want. We want things changed. We want all this LGBTQ crazy kids sterilizing out of the military, and somebody in there is going to shake that out. So
there's a problem that the word came out of the Trump camp that he was going to eject all of the trannies from the U.S. military. And then yesterday the story came out that, oh, no, he never meant that. So there's a big reversal on that.
Most Trump supporters would be like, goodbye us. That'd be fine. That'd be perfectly fine. Get rid of Admiral Levin and Levine or whatever it is.
I don't think she's an admiral or whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Say them. Yeah, get them out of here.
No, the trannies should go. They shouldn't be in the military, I agree. And I know a lot of you listening may be trannies, transsexual in your orientation. I don't know. That's your business. I don't have a problem. You do what you want. But I don't think it works with the military. I don't. It's like homosexuals in the military, that's a problem too. They're there. We know that. In fact, they've always been in the military. But if you're going to clean up the military, you're going to have to go back to ground zero and start to rebuild it properly, ethically, morally. Teach them. They can't come in obese. 60% of Americans are either obese or fat. 60%. The military is a joke. It's got to be completely refurbished from top to bottom, or it's not usable. We don't have a military.
I was reading in a shooting war with China. Our Navy's out of munitions in 2 weeks.
No. I've been saying this for the last year. We've been sending all of our munitions to Ukraine and Israel, and probably more to Israel lately, but whatever. We are disarming ourselves, William. That's a fact. And that's what you're hearing. We are disarming ourselves. It takes years to build up a stockpile of munitions to provide the proper material for a war machine, an army. Years. Not a joke. That's one of the reasons why North Korea sent, what the hell was it, 100,000 artillery rounds to Russia? Something big. Because the Russians are burning them up, and they can't make them fast enough. Had that said, the Russian defense industry is leaving ours in the dust in terms of replenishing and rebuilding worn-out and used stocks. They're just running away from us. We're in real trouble here. We are largely disarmed. That's not a joke.
Well, I was encouraged the other day to read that the Biden administration requested $24 billion more dollars for Ukraine. And Speaker
that encouraged
Mike Johnson,
me, too, yeah. Oh, yeah,
well,
I cheered.
Speaker Mike Johnson said, no deal. Said he's not doing anything like that until after President Trump's inauguration.
Where else can Biden, Biden, get that kind of money? Can they take it from the Pentagon's budget? Should Austin and the Pentagon want to do it? I think they can. I don't think they have to go to the House or the Senate and ask for it. I think the Pentagon budget is somewhat fluid, and I think the Pentagram can actually make that money available.
Oh, it's fluid, all right. Billions and billions of dollars just flowing out of there to God knows where. It's very clearly very lucrative for, you know, a lot of people who have been...
The Zionists are having a field day. We're so stupid with our money. Oh, come on. Remember, Ukraine is run by a Jewish Zionist regime. It's not the Ukrainian people's choice. It's a dictatorship. And they're stealing the hell out of the money that goes into there. Lots, billions and billions have been stolen. That's the word.
Well, and Hunter's going to get away with what he got.
Don't forget, Hunter had apparently knowledge of, rather intimate knowledge of, about a minimum of 50 different bioweapons research and development plants all around Ukraine. 50 bioweapons, labs, plants, manufacturing, whatever. This is all part. This story of Ukraine is so foul and so criminal that they're afraid that that's going to come out. That's one of the reasons Biden tried what he did. I don't know where this is going to end up, but it's not a good place.
Well, I think both Canada and Mexico right now are eager to try to make amends. And, you know, one of the things is it seems to be some of it running into the big money. I don't know how far it goes and, you know, into what camps. But
wait, the new Jewish female president of Mexico is trying to...
No, I'm talking about Disney seems to be changing course.
In terms
Walmart,
of
Walmart is changing
DEI?
Course. Yeah,
what are you talking about?
The whole DEI superstructure back there seems to be shifting. Like,
well, good. I hope their revenues are down, and maybe that's pushing it. We've got to boycott this stuff. That's our only real method of fighting back.
They've already been losing money. They've been operating outside of capitalism. It's not profit and making the best products that people want to buy. It's clearly not been their motivating factors. And after this election, there seems to be some type of major motion going on high up in the control and the superstructures of the United States. And, you know, how deep or complete it is, I don't know. I mean, there's major changes at CNN, major changes at MSNBC, layoffs across the legacy media, the LA Times. People are cutting and slashing jobs. You know, and a lot of these left-wing hot air mags and smear groups have been held up by Soros money and non-capitalist or profit-making enterprises for quite some time. And I think that that's been done, and it still didn't work. So, you know, hopefully there's a real opportunity here. I'm very hopeful on the DEI, especially anybody out there that's got kids or grandkids or anything like that that they're hoping are going to have a decent shot in this country. We got to knock the DEI down and take it out and get it out of their face and college admissions and job access because, you know, what was that stat that of the Fortune whatever top 100 companies in the United States, 96% of all jobs between 2022 and 2023 went to people of color?
How many 90, percent?
90, like 94, 96. I always get four and sixes. When I read a stat, I always have this trouble.
Well, let's
if it's
just call 94%, it
95% Well, right. I'm just saying if it was 24% or 26% or 94% and 96%, I always seem to get a little, my memory likes to bleed over a little bit between the four and the six. But
Ninety-something
percent of the new hires in the Fortune 100 companies of the United States, based
That's
off
crazy.
Of 2022 data, went to people of women and people of color, which means if you were a white male of any age, you need not
Good
apply.
Luck. No, and no talk at all about merit, about qualifications, none. Talking only about skin color. This is crazy. Republican Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell announced, I found it Thursday, that he'll become chairman of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee and the Rules Committee when the new Congress convenes in January. America's national security interests face the gravest array of threats since the Second World War, said McConnell. At this critical moment, a new Senate Republican majority has a responsibility to secure the future of U.S. leadership and primacy, or as they say in England, primacy. So anyway, he's going to stay around. Think about it. Chairman of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. That's pretty big weight to throw around. That's money. That's where all the money goes through, supposedly. So Mitch ain't going to vanish. He won't be majority leader, but... He's still going to be around playing a role.
I just can't believe he's from a place like Kentucky. It really seems like Mitch would be from some place on the left coast or the northeast, really, the way that he behaves.
Not with that accent of his, no. He's just a loser. There's so many. We should have vacuumed the entire House and Senate, started all over. We'd lose a couple of good people, but they can run again in another term. All right, so what else is on your mind?
I'm just counting certain blessings. And one of the blessings I want to mention is that none of us have to listen to or look at Kamala Harris anymore. We don't.
She's promising to run again at some point. Good luck. Says Hillary, Hillary's talking about 2028. She'll be, what, 85 by then?
Look, sometime in next year, next 24 months, somebody's going to get a paparazzi snapshot of Kamala, and she's going to be twice as big as she is now and look 10 years older than she does now, like Hillary did. She's going to swell up and drown her sorrows in ice cream and wine. And that's fine, and she could just go out to pasture that way because, you know, it was so painful having to watch and listen to her as part of my job that I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that anymore.
Did you see that statement she made from, I believe it was Hawaii? She was obviously had been drinking.
She was sluggish, they weren't able to smooth out her neck thing going on that they try to conceal. They try to, filter her or...
Nobody remembers this. I do. Before she took over as vice president, she had a massive facelift, including high cheek implants below her eyes and the corner of her eyes. They put cheek implants there. They pulled her face up. If you know anything about cosmetic surgery, you saw it. But they didn't do her neck. And I never could figure that out. There's enough skin in her neck for a couple of lampshades.
They just didn't
pull it up.
Well, they kept it out of a lot of images. It was only seen, her turkey neck thing going on was only seen a couple of times. And I'm not being mean to her for being a woman of age.
Look, she works in the public
technology,
eye. She's vain.
Today's technology,
she wouldn't have got the cosmetic
surgery.
I know. Anyway. Look, whatever. These people, go ahead and get cosmetic surgery. Just don't be hiding it. Just be upfront about it. Anyhow. Whatever.
That's not going to happen.
No, never. So we're about to transition, I guess. Do you still think that Trump's in any danger here as we get closer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, didn't the Russians tell him to be careful that there were people still conspiring to take him out?
Vladimir Putin said that, and he wouldn't have said
Putin
that unless there was
him
a
off.
Reason. Yes, he did. And he owes Putin a thanks for that. Hold on. We'll be right back with William in just a few minutes after this very short timeout. Okay, welcome back. Talking with William Gein, Alipack.us. Have you heard, are you paying much attention, you've obviously been doing a lot of things, about the invasion of Syria by Netanyahu, having corralled and is using now Turkey and Erdogan and supposedly ISIS and one other group, which is CIA Creations. This is a Western invasion of Syria. Now, the West, with Turkey, Israeli assistance and guidance, American participation through the CIA and other intelligence bodies that have created ISIS and what the hell's the other one? Anyway, there's another one of those groups. They managed to actually capture Aleppo, the second biggest city in Turkey. So the Russians and the Iranians are pushing back from the other side. The Americans are continuing to hold on to their stolen property in northeastern Syria, and the stolen oil continues to be drained from Syria. Now, today late, the Iraqi parliament gave the prime minister their full authority to send as many Iraqi military units into eastern Syria to try to recapture Aleppo, etc., etc. So this is another major war that the Israelis have started. So they've broken their vow on the truce in Lebanon. We know that. So the war is back on there. See, when they can't win militarily, what they start to do is to bomb with American bombs and American jets, civilian apartment buildings, residential neighborhoods, all kinds of things. They go after the public, the innocents. That's what the Jews do. They've done it in Gaza. They've done it in the West Bank. And they've done it for a long time. So this is a big deal. Syria, war. Lebanon, war. Gaza, war. West Bank, war coming soon. Because Miriam Adelson gave Trump $250 million to stand out of the way and let the Israelis cleanse the West Bank, which is a big area of all Palestinians. So this is getting uglier all the time. I don't know if you're up on that much or even care about it, but it's getting worse and worse. Nothing is getting better.
Well, some things are getting better. Bill Mayer may quit.
Not over there.
Well, see, my focus is domestic. You know, it's here. And I'm looking at a situation where Elon Musk may buy MSNBC and, you know.
Is that a real, I mean, was he really talking seriously about that possibility, or is that just a joke?
Well, I mean, he can afford it, and he tweeted, how much is it? And the last time he tweeted, how much is it, you know, or what's it cost, or whatever it was he said, he bought Twitter. And he clearly has an interest in the country and expanding influence and changing things. And it would just be, how hilarious would it be if you could tune in to watch Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan or even Alex Jones on MSNBC? I mean, I think it'd be hilarious. I think it'd be incredible, you know. The other thing, too, is it would between CNN and MSNBC, liberals make up such the real liberals and leftists make up such a real small group minority in the country that if Musk were to buy one of the other would probably do better. You know, if CNN or MSNBC could consolidate their liberal audiences, they might do better financially on there. I mean, do we really need two far-left cable companies doing the same crap and telling the same lies and doing the same twist? I mean, you know, talk about overkill,
no,
oversaturation.
No, yeah, I agree.
So, you know, Elon Musk has the money. I mean, who knows?
He may be the most interesting, we'll call him an appointment just for fun, to the incoming Trump regime if he makes it. Musk is living at Mar-a-Lago. He's kind of like part of the Trump family now. It's a strange thing. They like to call these things bromances. Whatever. Trump is an interesting character. He may be in more danger than Trump is. Think about it.
Well, they could save money on security hanging out, you know, split the bill, because they both have to have a lot of private security, and hopefully Musk could get more security. Well, you know, the problem with getting more security as a federal government employee or elected official is that you can't trust the CIA and the FBI and the government agencies that are in the Secret Service. You can't trust them to keep you safe. I mean, they're more like, you know, there's a chance they're the ones that are going to do you in or allow you to be done in because they're so corrupted and disgraced and politicized and weaponized against the American public and anybody that would get in their way. So, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. We've got a long way to go till January 20th in that transition, and there are a million bad things that can happen between then and now. And so we got to keep things going here. You know, we got to keep it up. Right. We have a chance. Will the deportations happen? Will illegals start
leaving?
All right,
let's just talk about that for a few minutes. How are we going to actually see this happen? We have, now think about it. How many men right now and women are there in active duty in the U.S. Army right now? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Try 435,000.
Oh, you mean like combat ready?
Active duty, combat, correct. How are we going to begin to broom out 30 million mostly fighting-age males? This is 80%.
You ready?
Go ahead. And you got a punchline
here.
You
asked me a question, so yeah.
Yeah, do it.
So first of all, the promise to comprehensively enforce the existing laws of the United States, just the promise of doing that before you actually start doing that, if kept credible and you don't have any amnesty legislation, will put the illegals on the move. They're migrants. They migrate. They're very transient population. They're very mobile. And so immediately, based off expectations, many will begin to self-deport before Donald Trump is ever sworn in if they believe that enforcement of America's existing immigration laws is coming. Second, you begin to fully implement the existing immigration laws of the United States. You don't need the military to do it. You don't need the Army. You don't need the Navy. You simply secure the border. with civilian personnel or police or Border Patrol or some military there.
Securing the border is no problem, William. That's easy.
Well, it's part of it, but you got to do it. It's the Alipac platform, Jeff. It's the Krikorian chair.
I'm with you. Okay. I'm going to see how we're going to deal with this 30 million. That's
four
all.
Things. Well, yeah. We start by starting with the first million. Okay? You start with the first step. You can't get to step 30 if you can't do step one. So you focus on step one. Step one, four-part enforcement. The Krikorian chair of Alipac.us's platform for the last 20 years. You mm-hmm. secure the border so that when people are on the other side of it, they don't come back in. Two, you take away the jobs. I would advocate that you give the employers and the illegals a 90-day, quote, amnesty, end quote, to notify their employers, liquidate any assets, get their kids out of schools, whatever they need to do, exit the country at designated exit points in all four border states and special federal processing offices set up in major airports in places like Baltimore, Seattle, New York, where if they leave, we'll let them take assets with them, and we'll forget about the 10 years it takes for you to even apply to ever come back in here. If they leave on their own accord, we'll let them walk out of here, and we won't apply the 10-year restriction on them if they just get their stuff and their people and they get out. But after 90 days, we're going to start coming to get them. And, of course, we'll focus mostly on the hardened criminals that have already raped and killed people first. But nobody's immune. We have to make it very clear that we're not going to pick and choose between illegals that we deport. If we intercept a whole family full of illegals, when we're arresting one drug dealer, they're all getting on the bus, they're all getting on the plane, they're all going home. And so you've secured the border. You've given them a chance to leave. You've created, instead of, you know, you don't push somebody unless they've got a place to go. So you create a place for them to go. You design the mechanism for them to self-deport.
Where are they going to go? From 47 different countries, where are they going to go?
Well, one of the great things we learned under Dwight Eisenhower's Operation Wetback is for every illegal they deported, another 2 to 3 left on their own accord. So I deported 1 million, but 2 to 3 million left on their own accord. So we know that there is a twofer for every one that you take out yourself. So
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. All right, so then you cut off the employment. You tell the employers that all these I-9 forms that Americans have been filling out since the 1986-87 Reagan amnesty. You know, the Reagan amnesty promises that there'd never be another amnesty and that we're going to do all these enforcement things. And the I-9 was created to prevent illegals from working jobs, but then you find out nobody's really checking the I-9s or enforcing that. So we tell the employers that after 90 days, they were going to start raiding workplaces, checking the I-9s. You might get some letters. If you get some letters and you have an illegal alien, or if you already know that you have some illegal aliens, well, you need to get rid of them out of your workforce as soon as possible. And we want to build in some wiggle room on the time. We don't want to do it all at once, because if you did indeed push a button and 20 to 30 million illegals suddenly raptured out of here, the economic hardship, which we're going to have economic hardship from this, like an alcoholic or a drug addict that has to go clean and go through the DTs and the withdrawal symptoms that can kill you, okay? The United States is hooked on these illegal aliens. They prop up housing markets. They prop up consumer markets. They push down wages. They're working in farms. They're working in nuclear power plants. They're working all over the place, and there's going to be economic hardship from doing this. So we structure it. We stagger it. We spread it out. Because it's going to take us 10 years to get 30 million out of here, at least. But we start
10 years.
So we've secured the border. Mm-hmm. We've secured the border. We've created access points for them to get out on their own accord. We take away the jobs. We take away the taxpayer benefits. We cut off all the money to these flipping NGOs. We cut off the money to any.
And what
city
are they
like
going
these.
To eat? How are they going to shelter themselves?
Oh, well, they can go
home. We're paying for food and shelter for them. You know
right.
that.
yeah. They can go to one of those airport processing points or go to one of those border checkpoints and get their butts on back to the country that they come from, and they can figure it out there because it's not my problem. It's not my job. It's not your job or anybody else's job here to be paying for their food and their health care and their lodging. So that they can go handle that problem somewhere else because they're not going to have a job, and then we're going to cut off the stuff that their phones and their health care and the lodging.
It'll require
clothing.
An enormous bureaucracy to do all of that.
No,
that's what's going to have to happen.
No,
yes,
it can all be done through an executive action.
But who's going to physically do the work and implement it? That's my question.
Well, I mean, I tell you, I would do it. Say, somebody bring me a piece of paper.
Okay.
Hey, Larry, you over there, Larry, jot this down. Memo. DHS. By executive order, by memo, DACA's a memo. Let's cancel DACA first. Memo, DHS, all DACA processing and status ends on January 26th. That sound good, everyone? No, yeah, we'll give them 30. On February 30th, February 28th, all DACA stuff expires. Everything with DACA is gone. Yeah, write it on a paper towel there. Yeah, and somebody run it over to Homeland Security. Yeah, that's pretty much how Obama created it. That's all it takes to get rid of it. Write it on a flipping napkin and run it down the street. And there goes DACA. Okay? You don't need Congress for the executive branch to turn off this money. You say, hey, how is this buddy getting this NGO? Yeah, we're turning that off. We're stopping that. Which city? New York's giving them 4-star hotel. Hey, New York, listen. We're gonna cut into your budget. We're gonna withhold a lot of the money that you've been getting. Yeah, yeah. You're not giving it to illegals. No. You too, Gavin Newsom. We're not giving it to you. So we turned off the jobs magnetism. We've turned off the taxpayer resources magnetism and saved those resources for American taxpayers and citizens. And then we put the 287G program up coast to coast. All law enforcement is going to be participating in 287G. And if you want to be a sanctuary city, you want to say, I'm not going to do 287G San Francisco, well, you're going to find out that you're going to be really hating it on federal dollars and grant money and everything else. You know, the speed limit has been 55 across the country. Why? Because the federal government wanted it that way. What were they going to do if you didn't want to do that? If your state didn't want to do a 55-mile-per-hour thing back in the late 70s, no problem. You just weren't going to get your federal highway dollars. They've done this a million times. So we've turned off the jobs. We've turned off the government welfare incentives. We've provided a way for them out. We've secured the border so they can't walk in here. And we've set up 287G so that when illegals are encountered by law enforcement during the regular course of their duties, when they find an illegal alien writing bad checks, selling drugs to kids, drunk driving, starting a fight in a bar, whatever it is, and they encounter law enforcement during their routine stuff and they take them down to the jailhouse, they're on their way out of here. So now you've got regular law enforcement and sheriffs during the regular course of duty deporting illegals that they encounter that are committing other crimes and putting them on the other side of a secured border or plane on the side of the border where they can't come back, can't get a job, can't come back and get welfare. It's going to be an out-migration, and it's going to be, and one of the most important things about it is not only will this start removing the illegal aliens from the United States, which would satisfy Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution they're constantly violating, which would satisfy a host of federal laws that they're currently violating, which would satisfy the supermajority of Americans that want their butts out of here. Not only would do this, but it does something so important. It turns off the flow in. They're going back to their home nations with a story about how they broke into the United States, and it didn't work out for them. Now, there's one other thing here. If you don't self-deport in the 90 days, if we have to come get you, we're going to seize your assets. Just like we did in the drug war, we're going to seize your assets. And we're going to paint a nice picture for you, illegal aliens. Those late models, new shiny Ford F-150s and other large trucks that you own. Here in North Carolina, illegals are driving better cars than the North Carolinians. They invest their money in their vehicle. You tell them you're going to start taking no cars, they're going to get those cars across the border so fast, it'll make your head spin. But you know what? If we have to hunt them down, if we have to go find them, they're already taken over $150 billion worth of tax resources out of the United States on the federal level alone, not counting the state level, not counting the local level. Yeah, we're going to take their brand new F-150 and sell it at auction just like we would for some Coke dealer and reimburse the United States taxpayer for it. You do these things, these four or five things, which are all embodied in existing law, all capable of being done through executive branch action, and they will start leaving in larger numbers than they're coming in. And over a period of years, the illegal alien population of the United States can be reduced in this trap that we've been put in by the globalists, where these illegals are supposed to come here to replace us all in all sorts of functions of our life and give Democrat, socialist, globalist full and permanent control of the United States gets diffused. And it doesn't have to be violent. It doesn't have to be inhumane. It doesn't have to be cruel. And we don't need the Marines to do it.
Well, I hope you're right.
They can just walk on a bus. They can walk on a bus.
I personally don't buy it, but I hope you're right.
But it's more than not buying it, Jeff. This is the Alipac platform. This is what I and thousands of people across this country have been working through the Americans for Legal Immigration Pact since 2004 to achieve.
I think there's more than one way to skin a cat. And I personally think that your 10-year projection, a lot of things can happen in 10 years.
Well,
and self-deportation
I'm not convinced
self-deportation will work. And let's just say 30 million. Let's take 10% of that, 3 million. And what if 3 million were somehow coerced or convinced that they need to fight to stay here? Then we got a big problem. And they'll get guns and ammunition. They'll get all kinds of weaponry.
They'll find out the United States already has 300 million guns and gun owners, and they're going to get their butts kicked.
Well,
but
we have 435,000. Hold on. Oh, no, hold on. We have 435,000 active duty military ready to fight, all right? We have 350,000 approximately stationed in over 50 countries around the world. We need to bring them home. We're going to need them here. These people are not going to go quietly. I don't think all of them are going to just pack up and go.
The moment they get really sparky, the moment that this country says, hey, did you hear what's happened in Southern California where the illegals are armed resisting the deportation and fighting with American police or whatever, their ass is grass, Jeff. Their whole thing goes out the window.
If we got 3 million of the 30 who want to fight, where are we going to get the troops to oppose that in urban warfare? Urban warfare.
Yeah, I understand. It'll be nasty. It'll be bloody. Lots of people die. Nobody wants it to happen. Yeah, I get it.
Nobody
does. I completely get it.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, that's completely counter to what the globalists want to do here. Right now, the terrorists.
How do you know that?
I know that because this country is full of terrorists and full of sleeper cells, but they're not attacking. So why aren't they attacking?
Yes.
Why aren't they attacking right now? Why haven't they been attacking? Because they like the direction of the country. They like being able to bring more people in here. They like being able to bring all sorts
of
resources.
Like I say, I really hope that you achieve and you're right and the people that want the same things we all do, we don't want violence. I hope that's the way it goes.
I'm dead serious about this. This is the first time in 20 years of doing this that we actually have a shot at this.
Absolutely correct.
But it's not going to happen on its own. It's not going to happen if people sit back down and say, yay, election went my way, and I'm going back to sleep. It's not going to happen on its
what
own.
What do the average rank-and-file Americans need to do to make this happen?
Well, right now, we got to refund Alipac. We got to watch the lame duck Congress, make sure they don't slip an amnesty into an omnibus spending bill that would derail everything.
Well, they've got to be watched under a microscope. Did you come up with any money, by the way, to help your deficit?
We're in the process right now. Yeah, we're in the middle of the fundraiser right now. We've raised about $2,000 of the $10,000 we have to raise before the end of December to be able to meet all of the core essential cannot pass on financial responsibilities for Alipac's national operations in 2024. Anybody would love to help us on that. Just go to alipac.us/donations/. We're going to continue to send emails, maybe some letters out, some things like that to try to get that 10 grand raised by the end of the year. So we're in the process on that. We got our people focused on the lame duck thing where we think that the danger could be where something could slip out or turn or change our fortune on that. And then what I just described to you about how the illegals go, that's tied into not only the alipac.us platform, which is at the website for anybody to review. But it also ties in the two older articles that we've written that hopefully here in the middle of December that we can put together, because these prior articles, which were called Why the Illegals Must Go, which was originally published on April 19th, 2007, and on the alipac.us website alone has been viewed over, what are we looking at here, something like quarter million reads. Yeah.
Maybe it's time to put a new article together when you can in your spare time.
Well, that's what we're
going
to do.
About how they're going to leave. Just title it like that. How they're going to leave. And just lay it out.
Yes, and it's going to be built on these two other articles, Why the Illegals Must Go, and another article from 3/16/2006.
I wouldn't waste your time on that one. Why They Must Go is obvious and evident to everybody.
Well, no, it's not obvious and evident to everybody, and we've been fighting
anybody who's an American patriot, I'd say, would know.
Well, I agree with you, and you and I agree with each other. Most people listening out there agree, but obviously Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Dick Durbin and Chuck Schumer and all them do not.
And the 48 million people who voted for the camel.
We've got
a split country here, and that needs to be taken into account as well.
Yeah, the other article we'll be building on from 3/16/2006 is called How to Reverse Illegal Immigration in America. And we will take those two articles and we will put out a more detailed plan about the comprehensive deportation plans and help to try to guide the people who have the ability to see this through and build the public support that it's going to take to see it through.
We'll post it here. Keep at it. Now, if any of you have ever donated to AliPac, thank you, and don't quit. But if you've ever honestly donated to any government-aligned organization or activist group that really makes sense, you haven't donated to AliPac, you want to do that. This is the best political action committee ever, and don't stop helping. So let's get to that 10,000.
I appreciate that, Jeff, and I'll see you next Wednesday, my friend.
Be well.
Thank you so
get
much.
Some sleep.
God bless.
All right, wait.
God bless.
Yeah, you too. Okay, we'll pause on that note, come right back with Erica in just a few minutes. We've got some very, very important, serious updates to do here. There's things going on out there that the mainstream media is not telling anybody. We will. Next.